turned off now. Talk too long this morning, but when Brother Eric said I had 1:30, I always remember when they should say, "Preaching how long?" And the preacher would just say, "Not long." And to be quite frank, when I think about that a little further, that question might go a little bit deeper. You might say, "Well, when is Christ going to return? How long will it be?" And most of us would love to say it. Not long. And that song says, "And sure and very sure, he shall return unto us. And one day we shall see him face to face. And we shall be like him." When we start at the end and know that there's victory, we can endure all the stuff that comes in between.
Listen to yourself.
We can take hope in knowing that when I do look up towards heaven, there is strength that I can draw from.
Yes.
That when I'm grieving and when I'm down and out, there is a balm in Gilead that soothes my soul. So I'm glad the fact that I know that there's a Jesus and a God and a Holy Spirit that will get me through all things. For he tells me I can do all things in and through. So the reality is that no matter how we feel today, no matter how difficult the day has become, it's going to be all right. Not by might. Not to say what? But by my spirit says the Lord. You know, we speak of that so easily, but we don't recognize how much it means to us until the day comes when we don't even say not by might, but we just say we ain't got no might. We have lost all our strength. And then that word says, "But my strength is made perfect in weakness." And that gets me through the day. It helps me to move a little further along my way. That's not the sermon of today. But you know, it's when you know that 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 you will have a place one day. The song says, "He's gone," and he's, I love that song I heard this morning. I can't recite it exactly as well as she sang it. But essentially, he said, "There's a place for me in heaven. That Jesus has already prepared. There's a mansion up there. Well, I can go." And he says, "And all the saints will gather around." Now, I think he said, "Give him praise," or whatever, but the saints will be there working together. Don't want to preach y'all going home sermon yet. But you know, it's just good to know that we have a home to go to. That's the reality of life.
Amen.
Not what we see, but what is unseen. We hadn't seen that mansion. Stanley Martin hadn't built that mansion.
All right.
Toll Brothers is not going to be up there building those houses. So the houses that we see, we know, are temporal, and we know that. For earthquakes, storms, and waters can wash them away in a matter of moments. But my God says, don't worry about what you see in this life. For he says, that's temporal. There's a finite time when it's going to be over. But the stuff that we don't even see, last us. My cousin went home at the age of 40, Christmas Eve. Car accident. And when he asked me just to say a word, I found that song, Amazing Grace. And I know the first three verses, but there's a fourth verse that nobody knows who came up with. That does not apply to John Newton. But it says, when we've been there 10,000 years praising his name. only just begun. So this little 50, 60, 70, 90, 100 years down here compared to 10,000 years up there, it kind of puts it in the right perspective. It puts it in the godly order of things. And if we're going to get through this life, the word really is today is you got to get God in your life. Let the Spirit come up in you through the reading of the Word of God, and He will get you through whatever you have to walk through.
Amen.
He will provide a way for you.
Yes, He yes. will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Preach the Word.
Yes, what does it say right here? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions.
Yeah.
With all kinds of prayers and requests. He opens up the door. He says, when I open the door, no man can shut it.
Amen.
All right. Well, children, I came to talk to you very calmly this afternoon. But before we do that, I really want to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you for this day, O Father. We ask you for your protection, your provision. Your understanding, your wisdom, that we might continue on. We ask that you touch even the youngest to the very oldest today with your word, that we all might walk out of here, not with a word from Stokes, but with a word from you. That we all might be able to find and glean from a word that you give unto us a way of going on and moving on again this week. Walking uprightly before you, not seeking the counsel of evil men, but calling on our God in our times of need, trouble, and success. We thank you for that. Oh, we ask you just to bless the children, keep them in all their ways. Teach them, O Lord, through thy word and through us, O Lord, that they might understand who you are in their life, even as they are now, that they might find you while you are yet near. That they may hear from you, O Lord, even as a young child, how to direct their lives. And then Satan, Father, I ask you to remove Satan, his imps, and any of his angels from this place right here. By the blood of Jesus. For by the name of Jesus, they have to flee, and we call on the name of Jesus right now. To cause them to flee from this place. Anywhere they try to come in, that your word might go forth and that your people might be blessed and find security in the house of prayer. We thank you for that, O Lord, this day. We lift up your name, for you are the God, our Father, the only Creator, the one who said before me there was no God, the one who says after me there shall be. The great I am.
Thank you, Lord.
The one who made us, who brought us from the clay, and blew life into our lifeless bodies.
Yes.
And set us on the path that you purposed before we were even known in our own mother's womb. So we thank you for that. And we know you'll never leave us or forsake us, but you're constantly with us. And we love you for the fact that you're always there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This afternoon we're going to, I wanted to talk a little bit because it wasn't your role, about, I'll get this to work, I'll give it a small space so I couldn't bring it so much, I'm going to take this chair over anyway, just to have, okay, put that out of my way. I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And because it is Youth Sunday, it's an attempt to apply it to the children that are here today.
Amen.
And those who are not here today. And to give some understanding as to why not only children, in that context, should obey their parents. But while we, as believers, should also obey our God.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 6, the very first verse, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And the one that we know, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The other scripture, and you don't have to turn to it, but is in Proverbs. You know this one very well. I don't have to. Verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's always been told, and it's always been said so many times, I mean, we've heard this as a child, and speaking to the children now, to obey your parents, for it is right, this is right, and to honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, the promise. And we as parents have to nurture our children. Mm-hmm. When that word says to train them up, many times, you know, we think we got to beat them up, whip them up, spank them up, slap them up, all those other kinds of ups. But God said train them. And when you train somebody or something, you do it with the understanding that they don't understand necessarily what you're talking about when you tell them the first time around. They don't recognize the importance of what you're trying to tell them. You're teaching them. That's probably a better word. To teach or to nurture them. And young people, your parents, when they try to do that, may not do it exactly right the first time or the second time, but the fact is they've been called to do that. And the reality is that when you start to obey them in their training, you're starting to prepare yourself for listening to your Father who's in heaven, and how he's going to train you to live your life. So it's not a action or a training of, if you will, futility or a process that just so you can get an A in your classroom or B in math or go to Harvard or go wherever you want to go. But the training actually means not only nurture, but the parent recognizes what your gifts are. And because they understand maybe even better than you do, which again, think about the parallel. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Right. A parent knows his child or her child better than they know themselves, because we don't know ourselves. As a baby boy, do you think I knew anything about anything? No. As long as, you know, when, look how we started out. As long as they're fed, kept clean, they're happy. That's all they know. And if you ever watch a child as he or she grows up, every day they change. And they're learning more and more. So it's a prime time for us to train them up then. Because the Bible tells us if we do that now, there will be a joy unto us later. And if we don't, they will bring us much distress. But the reality is, young people, is that your parents have an idea of what your gifts are. Just like your father knows what he's put into you. Just like he said to Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were even formed in your own mother's womb. And I purposed you." You see, we're talking to the children, but it comes to all of us.
Yes.
And that training is so important. Because when we're young, we're available to hearing things and accepting and, under, and not necessarily even understanding, but knowing, because my mama said, it must be all right. Because my father said, don't do that. It must be all right. And see, isn't the parallel the same when you get a little older? You may not know why God called you to do a specific work. You may not understand the totality of why. Joseph didn't understand why he had to get into Egypt. But the reflection of that is 400 years of time and forth where all the kings of Egypt knew Joseph. And therefore, they were good to the Hebrews. He had no idea what the impact he would have. Jabez's prayer talks about blessing me, enlarging my territory. Many think, well, I don't want to pray that prayer to bless me. But the reality is, God is going to bless you if you are willing to watch and walk with him so that your territory will be expanded because you're expanding not yours, his. And as a result, he will bless you. Beyond the greatest, beyond with it, beyond your own belief, he will bless you. So they nurtured you and trained you to prepare you for your next step as you move along in this life. When you start to make up your mind about things, you start to say, okay, how should I do this? Then the word of God will speak to you and tell you what to do. Don't go there. Don't hang with that person. Old preacher says, when you get saved, there's some folks that you hung around before, then the Lord says, you don't need to hang around them anymore. The same thing. When I was 7 years old, God spoke to me and said, you know what? Make something yourself. So I grew up undertaker's kid. You know, undertakers got money always, right? That's what I always heard. And I looked around and it was 13 people living off one business. And it didn't take me much longer to figure out that 13 pieces of one pie wasn't so big. I don't care how big it was. At that time, my thought of a pie was like this. Not a, you know, not a pie like this room, but one like this, you know, 9 inch. Okay, that even, that's like 13 inches around in diameter. You know, so 13 out of 9, that's what you are. Somebody will, if you will, come up short. So I understood. God said, make something for yourself. That's right, at 7. I didn't know what he was saying to me. I didn't understand why. But he said it to me. And all I did was say, okay. I didn't sit down and make a whole lot of plans. But I just said, okay. And see, that's the first thing you tell God. Is okay. You don't question God's word. Because God's word is absolute. It is not relative like man's word is. Man's relative word is based on the consequences and circumstances he finds himself in. Yep. God says, no, I created the circumstances. I created the heavens and the earth. Yeah. Yeah. So I know the circumstance before it even becomes a word. Right. So I know what needs to be done. So I don't have to change in the middle of the stream. I know what to do.
Amen.
But you got to listen to me to get through. That's why you say, okay, Lord, and you move forward.
Amen.
And in that, when you then become, if someone's a helper for Christ, that means you go a little extra mile. You go a little further. You dig a little deeper to find out what he's talking about. He then unfolds unto you what he wants you to do.
Yes.
But you can sit up in the church. You can go to prayer meeting. You can talk with Rudy every Monday night. And that's a good thing. But until you take that step of faith, till you cast your bread upon the wall, till you step
how we fall. It's the reason why we have to constantly pray. We have to constantly die to self. We have to constantly fight on our knees. Because if you don't get on your knees, you will not please God. There's no way. Because you will find out what you need to know. You'll be walking in your own strength. And he tells us quite bluntly that man's understanding shall bring him to destruction. Not because man has no intellect, but because man without God has no ability to understand what the plan is. But man with God says, I can do all things. If I need to build a bigger church, I can build a bigger church. But it's not going to be about the building. It's going to be about the people coming in. That means I'm going to get out and evangelize somebody.
Somebody.
I'm not just going to sit up here and preach all day and expect, they will hear, I will shout loud enough, and they will invest in them and come on over here and hear me. No. I would have to get out.
Yes.
In the byways and the highways. Going unto all the world. Teaching and preaching.
Yeah. Praise God.
Take the time.
Praise God. Praise Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, I got to the first sentence. Might be with that. All right, let me just kind of. Children, I told you I was going to have a drink and I wasn't going to shout. I wasn't going to shout. I was going to be so angry. I was going to give you a chair and sit down and talk. But
we're all good.
You know what? That's it, man. When it's so good, you got to shout about it.
Yeah.
And if it ain't good, then you need to find something good about your God that you can shout about. Right. Because he does say when praises go up, the blessings go down. He does say when we praise him, he inhabits our praise.
Yeah.
But if you want him in the midst, you better praise him sometimes. If you don't want to do it here, then get in your car. Get in your closet.
That's right.
Get in the bathroom. Wherever. In the basement. Doesn't matter. But you praise him. Say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And before you know it, whatever you feel.
That's right.
We'll say we'll be strange to them.
Strange in the game. That means you won't understand why it went away, but it just did. Thank God. Then you start to understand why it's not by might, nor by strength, but it's the Lord who did it for me. It's the Lord. In Revelations 3 and 8, if I can move over a little bit here.
Praise God.
It says, talking to the Church of Philadelphia, that one verse, he says, I know thy works.
Yes.
And behold. You hear me?
Yes.
I mean, come take a look. Mm-hmm. Come check it out. Yeah. Y'all know what I mean when you see a woman. That would hit a nerve some kind of way. And the same thing you see a guy, you know, I mean, that's you know what it means when you say behold. You know? All right, that's not what we're talking about here, but I just want you to get the understanding of what when you say behold, it has a little more intensity than you might describe to it. I know thy works, and behold, see, only God can say that. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And then what does he say after that? For thou hast a little strength or power. But you know what? But you have kept my word and has not denied my name. Then he goes on and says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue. He's talking about those who don't believe. But essentially, he's telling us he will open that door.
Yes, he did.
And he recognizes that we don't have much. And if you really think about it, you might be strong as man. Samson. But when you put that beside God's thing, I don't think that's even close. You know, that's a true unbalanced scale, because you're way down here and you bring up there. So there's no balancing out that situation. But anyway,
He will open that door for you. So children, if I can digress, when you follow and listen to the Lord, when you allow Him to come into your life, when He speaks to you, when you honor your father and your mother because you obey them, you're preparing yourself to obey your Father who is in heaven. And when you do that, God will then be able to use you. And that's when He will open up that door. That's when He will make things your way straight. He says, I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. He'll make you prosperous, but you'll enjoy the prosperity. It won't be a prosperity that you have to wonder about somebody trying to take from you, steal from you, or worry that you made up something, I told a little bit, allowed me, they got you there. No, it'll be a prosperity that you can rely upon. And even if the world tries to take it away, even if they try to steal and kill your joy, you can return it to Him, and He will restore you. Because He says, though the physical man perishes daily, the spiritual man is renewed every day. So even when things come that you don't particularly care for, that you don't like, things that don't want, that you would never expect to happen, God can renew you. So, yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear, for thou art with me. Isaiah 43, and someone turn to that real quickly. I love that. It's actually 40:31. It's not 43. You know, you've heard this one. Fine. I got you. 40:31. That's it. No, that's back up. That's not what I'm looking for. I think it is 43. Yes, it is 43. You're right. I was right the first one. Isaiah 43. 43:2. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned.
Yes.
Neither shall the flame even kindle upon thee. He's just saying, children, he says in this life you shall have trials and tribulations, but He's already prepared us for the trial and the tribulation, because He's put His Spirit into us that gives us the power from on high. So when we walk through that water, we won't perish. We won't perish. We will live and not die.
Yes.
You hear me? That's a heck of a promise. And it ain't the promise I made to you. But see, if I made it to you, you better go on and try to make it for yourself. Amen? But God, in His word, that same Creator that says down a few verses below that in verse 10, He says, I am He. And before me there was no God formed, and neither shall there be after me. You're talking about the Alpha and the Omega. I don't know about the Q. How did the Q get that? That's the Omega. There it is. Okay. The Q's got it on the end. Alpha's got it on the end.
I'm not a frat, man. So I can talk about it all. But anyway.
When you get through the laugh, you understand that God will be there for
destroy this, but you know what? This here. This right here will stand. And when I'm not here, this will stand. In fact, what did God say? Before one dot, jot, or tittle fail, so all the earth shall pass away. So you need something secure? Don't worry about the 401k and the IRA. Don't worry about the home, nor the car that you drive, nor the food that you may try to have. But this right here shall provide all things unto you. All things. We don't have to worry anymore. We can live in the word that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. We can live in that. That's why God said we shall still persist in the midst of troubles. Though other things may come, and we may see terrible things come this way as the days of sorrow begin, we shall still live. We shall still be protected. But we have to walk upright before Him. We have to obey Him and honor Him. Don't treat Him like some little novel of fiction that the world wants you to take it as. The world says this is just Jewish fiction.
Well,
but there's more historical documentation of what goes on in this book than any other book in the world.
Amen.
When Jesus died and was resurrected, He said more than 500 saw Him. And now this is what I heard is so crazy to me. Is that how can someone say 2,011 years after the death of Christ that He was not resurrected? The book of Thomas that everybody goes crazy about because of that story, whatever it was called. What was it? The movie. What was it called? The one? Not the Passion of Christ, that one that talks about the Vinci Code, yes. The book of Thomas was written 100 years after the death of Christ. 100 years. Don't you know I could sit up here and die in front of everybody, and 100 years from now, everybody would say, oh no, he didn't die. He was just a little sick. You know, he had a little indigestion. The reality was, you know, whatever. 100 years, you can say anything. But what I see is, why didn't anybody say something before then? If it wasn't true, why didn't somebody say something before then? They hated Him. They crucified Him. He was not in no position of honor when He died. He was not the president of anything. He had 12 men and lost one before He died. So you know if there was somebody who saw something that wasn't right way back then, they would have written it down someplace. Someway. And Thomas would have waken up 100 years later. That didn't even make sense. I'm sorry, that didn't make sense. 100 years later, you're going to talk about somebody. You weren't even there. Anyway. But the point is, what just upsets me is that the world is trying to destroy the validity of God's word.
Yeah.
And if we don't stand up and say, no, this is true, you may not believe, but I am. It's like that song says, what if I'm right? You know, you can say these things are wrong, but what if I'm right? Where will you be, those who don't believe? Anyhow. I had another point in that, but I got to carry it up. I got to test this. Two things have happened that have totally upset me. And I think the church should hear this. One, my daughter came home just this week and said that that taking a test in history, I believe, they wanted to use BC as BCE before the comma era.
That's right. What?
Exactly. That's what they what?
All schools do it.
Before the comma. Because someone who didn't believe way. But the reality is this. That young woman, that old woman, I will say, has a young boy, 14 years of age, on her television show, talking about how he's coming out. Yes. And how it took him a time and a while to get up the courage to tell his friends he was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I said, you can do that if you're with your old behind, if you decide that's what you want to do, but don't use our children. For your purpose. It's an outrage.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the world wants to destroy this book. And man wants to have his own ratchet box of truth. It's an outrage.
Yeah.
I don't mind screaming about that. I'm screaming until I can't scream no more. It's an outrage. She can do that with her old mind, if that's what she wants to do. But don't bring children into this. But that shows you the persistence and pervasiveness,
audacity,
whatever adjective or verb, whatever pronoun. Anyway, sorry about that. A little fuzzy with this one. But the point is, look at the other side and how treacherous they become.
Yeah. Yes.
We should love those who have fallen in sin. Otherwise, we couldn't love ourselves.
Hmm. Amen.
But to promote such a thing, it's almost like, you know, the Republicans feel like they have to give a response. Well, we as Christians need to give a response to that. We need to give a response to that. Because that's an outrage. A young boy, 14 years, you look at him, you couldn't even tell whether he was a boy or a girl.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I said what I need to say about that. Let me try to move on. So, I had a beautiful thing here, didn't I? Let me see if I can pull this back in now. What time is it?
1:30.
Psalms 91, and I hate to keep you flipping back and forth, but this is kind of topical, so it's hard to stick with one scripture. We all know this one well. And that's the main of this one. This is where I want to go to. In Psalms chapter 1. Talk about the protection of God. Going back to where I kind of left off before we moved to some other things. It says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High
shall abide. This Psalms 91. First one. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you seek, while he shall be found. And when thou passest through those waters we just talked about. And he says in verse further down, he says, and because you have made the Lord thy refuge, thy of my habitation, there shall no evil befall you, nor plague or calamity come near your tent.
That's right.
Because God, the Lord thy God, your heavenly Father, will send his angels and give them charge over you to accompany you, to defend you, and to preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. Early in the chapter, God had said, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. Pinions, I never knew what that was. But those are wings. He will cover you with his wings. Going on, he says, his truth and his faithfulness shall be the shield and buckler. And if you know anything about a shield, it says a shield is something that covers the warrior. And I said, well, and the question came to me, well, why do you need a shield and a buckler? And so I looked it up. And it says, it's a small shield. But then when you look a little further, the shield covers the warrior. A buckler comes from the word to surround. Get me? Mm-hmm. So the shield gives you that cover, but then you got God with that buckler that surrounds you. So even if the shield is not covering you on the back, because if you think about it, if you had a shield that covered you completely, you'd be in a box. I mean, think about it. You know, there'd be a box over you. You have all four sides of you. But if God is surrounding you with his protection, that's that buckler for you. So when you think about that buckler, just think that's God's surrounding you. I thought that was good. I love it. Anyway, let me go on because I'm going to read through this because I thought it was a word I felt was coming from God, and I don't need to shout this. I just need to speak this. He says, and because you know this, okay, listen to this, because we know we have that shield and that buckler that surrounds us, you will have confidence. And there's a word I didn't look it up. I think it's, I know it's in the latter part of the chapter, but it says, forget not your confidence, for therein is your reward. That doesn't mean your self-confidence. It doesn't mean your, you know, your pridefulness, but it means your confidence in God. And if you maintain that confidence in God, recognizing he's got the shield that covers you and then the buckler that surrounds you, you can maintain your confidence when evil tries to come near you. Because he just said earlier, it will not come near your tent.
That's right.
It might seem like it's close, but it's not going to come near you.
That's right.
So you can maintain that confidence. You can be still. That's what I love. Because God is your refuge.
Yes, he is.
You know when we say that song, be still and know that I am God? That's why you can be still, because he's all around you. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he is the great king of all the earth. I'm just saying that so you get an idea of who he is.
Yes.
How great he is.
Yes.
He's not some little statue sitting, you know, on his feet. You know, that little fat man that sits on his knees or whatever. Hey, that's not that, no. I'm sorry, I'm not being politically or Christianly correct, but the reality is, he ain't no Buddha.
Amen.
And he ain't no Allah.
That's right.
He's God all by himself.
Yes.
And his word is true. And if we live in the truth of his word, we are surrounded by his protection. So they may come against us. They may say all manners of evil against us, but we shall continue to stand.
Amen.
And they will run away when it's a
trying to stand on his word. Yes. Call upon his name in the midnight hour, and he will take care.
Yes.
Oh, you know, he's the God of all the earth. Ooh. So that's why I said you can shout unto the Lord with a praise of triumph.
Yes.
Psalms 47. If you want to look it up. So shout unto the Lord with a praise of triumph. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, that's the 100th Psalm. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he said and wrote in Revelation 3 and 8, that's what I told you about, I know thy works. And I'll open up that door. Let me finish. Maybe that's all. Truly, and will always be. And thank God for it.